Hi, I'm Dr. Sophia, email marketing strategist and educator, and I am committed to making email marketing simple and profitable for you. Through my online email marketing school, Sophia Learning Hall, you can find the link in the show notes. Fun fact, I'm an obstetrician gynecologist resident in training. Yes, I'm an actual practicing medical doctor. Email marketing experiments was born out of the desire to share behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. Simply put, what we've tried, not just me, but me and every guest I bring on the show, what we've tried that has worked or didn't work. So instead of just thinking it and testing it, we're committed to also sharing the BTS with you on this podcast. Come join us behind the scenes. And one more thing, as you listen, if you're a freelancer, service provider, or business owner, go ahead and check the show notes for the gift I kept for you. You'll find it under the title Gift. Now let's go behind the scenes.
On the 23rd of March 2026, we celebrated our 1 year podcast anniversary, and I am so excited to be able to host a podcast for 1 full year. A lot of people don't even make it to the 1 year mark, and we did. And that is why I have to record this so it goes down in memory lane. Now, the reason I'm recording this episode is not just because I want to have it in memory lane. You know, I want to be able to look back and see how far, but it's because we learned a lot of lessons in our first year. And these lessons would be useful to anybody who wants to start a podcast, who has questions and is wondering, you know, how does it work? How do you do yours and all of that? So we want to be able to help our community and the larger community as well. Now, when we started the podcast, we had one simple goal: share behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. What that simply means is what we've done that worked or didn't work. And I don't just mean me, but every guest who we brought on the show. And the past 1 year, we brought a total of 32 guests on the show and released a total of 47 episodes. We had solo episodes incorporated into that and about 3 repurposed episodes as well. Our target initially was to release 52 episodes in 52 weeks. Unfortunately, we didn't get to do that. For the first 1 year, our goal was consistency. We wanted to be able to do this thing and be consistent, which is why our goal was 52 episodes in 52 weeks. What we ended up with was 47 in 52 weeks. And yes, we did have solo episodes. Yes, we did repurpose about 3 episodes, but we learned a lot of lessons along the way and we did end up consistent. And I consider that a win. We even got feedback from listeners who, you know, tuned into the podcast during the journey, and I'll share some of that with you later on. Okay, now one of the things that I really loved in hosting this podcast was the fact that we had mini themes within the podcast, so mini segments, if I may. One of these was what we called Open Rates Confession. Now, Open Rates Confession was where guests got to share their biggest, cringiest email marketing mistake that made them want to hide, cry, or any of those things. And it wasn't something that we started at the beginning, but it was something that we absolutely love. Our guests love talking about it. Our listeners loved hearing it because it felt so relatable. Open Rates Confessions, rather, was such a huge hit. The other question that I totally loved asking is, what is the role of email marketing in your business? If you were to give email marketing a job description, what will it be? Because this provided so much perspective, and these two questions are something we're going to be taking into year two. We didn't start it from the beginning, but we hope to ask this question to every guest we bring on the show this year. Now, let me show you what our process of producing each podcast episode is like. When we first started this journey, before the podcast was launched, it came as an idea to be in multiple formats. We launched the idea in 2024, towards November, if I'm not mistaken. And it started out as a newsletter. So we were writing these case study newsletter styles and publishing on Substack. And then we surveyed our audience. People wanted multiple formats. And at a point, it's like, why not, you know, go audio and have it as a podcast? And instead of just sharing things that we've worked on, why not invite other people? And that's how the idea for having guests come share behind the scenes of failed and successful campaigns came about. And so in March of 2025, we launched the first episode on the 23rd of March. Of course, our trailer had been released before then and all of that, right? And so here's what our podcast flow looks like. For each guest that we had to bring on the show, we went through a similar process for each of them. So I sourced guests from my network, from threads, from people, connections who I had known previously, right? But a lot of them, I got people from threads, really. My Instagram. So sometimes I'll find them on threads and I'll connect on Instagram. And so on. I also got a couple from LinkedIn, I think. But really, for almost all episodes, it was me reaching out to people who I connected with on socials or people in my circle to pitch them the idea of coming to be a guest on the show. Also, people I connected with in communities that were off social media and my Instagram audience and all of that. And when I pitch these guests, here's how the flow would usually go. So we'll first have them book a coffee chat, which was a 30-minute coffee chat where we got to know each other, pick what's the one thing they wanted to talk about on the podcast will be, decide on how it will flow, the things they're comfortable talking about and all of that, and next steps. So we'll have that 30-minute conversation, which was usually fun and insightful in terms of getting to know the guest, feeling comfortable with the conversation style and knowing what to expect in the main conversation. Following this, we'll send out an email which had the link to book the next call, which was a 1-hour recording session, as well as our bio form, which was where the guests got to fill in their details amongst other things. And of course, we also would give them potential questions. Now, these potential questions, usually that's what we'll discuss in the coffee chat. When a guest says, okay, I've tried this, I've tried that, which one do you think is suited for your audience, or this is the one I want to talk about, I begin to ask questions like, so tell me about this, how did it work, you know, and I'm like, oh, these are some things I'll want to find out in the main episode, things I'll be asking you about. Sometimes they may want to go back, check their dashboard so that they're sure they're giving us exact data, because we always love to create context when it comes to the things that we are sharing, right? Then we started taking those questions that we had already discussed with them and putting it into a document so that they have an idea of potential questions. And I always told each guest that, yes, we've given you potential questions, but we always want to go with the flow. So we don't want a scripted episode. So those questions are just a guide. It doesn't mean we'll ask all of them. It doesn't mean we'll ask them in that particular order, but it's a guide to let you know what to expect. And that's something that worked really well. Now, after the main recording, we would then go ahead to do the production of editing, doing the show notes, creating the Substack announcements that will go out. We already had a template for all of our podcast creative, so uploading the guest images into the template and all of that. And then after which we would publish and send an email to the guests letting them know that their episode was live. We had a couple of email communication in between. So after the one requesting their bio form, we started doing one letting them know ahead of time when their episode will go live and giving them the creatives early enough and the links as well before giving them one that now says it has gone live. So we added all of that. Now, in terms of support, when I started, so I never edited the podcast. It is not in my skill sets. Podcast management is not my skill set. So I knew I needed to get help on that right from the beginning, right? So I connected with somebody who had edited the podcast of somebody I knew. And then she came on board to help me in the management of the podcast and editing the episodes on a monthly retainer, right? So she is the main person in charge of podcast production. Her name is Favor. She's a podcast manager, ensuring that everything that needs to be done is done and the episodes go live. And that was one big thing off my plate that helped me to be able to be consistent. So while I will focus on sourcing for guests, interviewing these guests, and sometimes in the communication, right, Favor would take it up from after the video was live to every other thing that led to it being published. So after the recording was ready to every other thing that led to it being published. Now, I also had a friend of mine who had done the branding for the podcast for me before we even started. So Ododo had helped me with the creatives, the banner, the newsletter, the logo, and of course the podcast art. So that was also something that I didn't do by myself. So I really wanted this to be professional and I wanted it to look good. So I didn't want to do it myself. And so I outsourced that as well and reached out to a friend of mine to help me with it. Then along the line for communications, I handed that off to somebody on my team in terms of letting the guests know that the episode has gone live. I used to do it by myself. At the point, I gave it to someone on my team to ensure that that communication goes out. And then I had another person on my team who helped me with listening to the audios and generating questions for each guest. Now, this is something that we can actually do with AI, but I still wanted somebody, a human who had an email marketing background, to be in charge of this particular aspect so that there is context and then there is expertise guiding how the questions come about and the flow of the conversation so that it is useful to the people that are listening to it. So irrespective of how she was working to generate those questions, the important thing is that she had the domain expertise and she knew the audience we were working for and what it is they really wanted to know, find out, and all of that. And a lot of times, those questions, I didn't ask them verbatim of how it was written down. I would usually modify it, but they served as a guide. So those are four people that I had supporting me, of which one person was a one-off, which was the designer who helped me with the branding, podcast manager, very much constant. The person who helped us with communication came in later on. And of course, my team member that helped us with fine-tuning the questions was there throughout the process. So Ododo, Oluchi, Favor, and Tofumi. So shout out to all of them. They were super helpful. Now, in all of these, I also use tools. And this is the part that a lot of people struggle with. Because before I started, I was asking like, what tools are you using? What microphone? How are you recording? How are you editing? What's the best one? Like a lot of research that went on. And the biggest lesson I learned is build from where you are, start with what you have. Because you really don't need all of those tools. I bought a podcast microphone, which I ended up not using for the most part of it because of a technical difficulty. I had a headset, which also had a microphone. Now, I'm not saying that these tools are not good. I'm not saying that these tools are not good to have and they don't have their advantages, but you don't need them to start. And I'm saying this after doing 1 year of the podcast, because after my microphone, there was an issue and I couldn't get it to work with my laptop anymore and all of that. I literally just dumped it and packed it off. So I wasn't using my podcast microphone anymore. And there were times where I would use my headset and with its own microphone and other times where I won't even bother to use it. And then after a while, I just started recording with my laptop microphone, no extra microphones, and I went on with that. So that's what I mean by start with what you have, because you can actually start with what it is you have. Then as you move forward, you can then bring in those tools, because I still plan to find out and fix whatever is wrong with my microphone or get a new one. Right now, in terms of tools, we started off with using Buzzsprout as our hosting platform. It was really simple, easy to use, the user experience really easy, right? But along the line, we wanted to be able to do more things. We wanted to be able to get deeper analytics. We wanted a platform that would allow us to do private podcasts for some behind the scenes things that we wanted to do. And so we switched to Captivate. And that was a very scary one for me, because I was like, what if we lose the podcast? What if we lose the data? What if it doesn't work out well? And then Buzzsprout had said that something about having to pay a fee to keep your page active, or you will need to delete it. And I'm like, what if I delete it and, you know, everything goes wrong? But we made that switch. Captivate is a bit more technical, but it's really good. It has even more options. It's more advanced, really. So if you just want to do basic stuff, Buzzsprout it is. But if you think that down the line you want to do private podcasts, you want a platform that allows you to do more technical stuff, then go over to Captivate, right? And so we made that switch to Captivate and I totally loved it. They have great customer support. So that was super helpful. platform. So for hosting currently, what we use is Captivate, but we started out with Buzzsprout. Then in terms of recording the audios, right, the guest interviews, now we had heard a lot of tools, Zencastr, Descript, Riverside, and we had tested out a number of them, if not all. And then paid for a subscription with DevScript, which we ended up not using for the most part of the year. Still falls back to that microphone tech issue that I have, and then all of a sudden it stopped working properly for me. One thing I really loved about DevScript, in all honesty, was the fact that after recording the conversation, because we used to do a video recording for the conversation, it could actually cut clips for me of key highlights of the conversation using their Underlord AI tool. And that was my favorite tool in all of it. Like, all it needed to do was for it to say, you can give it an instruction or you can just allow it to freestyle and it will give you 3 to 5 or how many clips you wanted of areas of the conversation that were super insightful, appealing, that will make people want to listen to it, right? So that was one of my favorite aspects. Of course, there was also the part that allowed you to edit the transcript and, you know, make sure it was all good. But all of those things are, you know, they are good and all. But this one about the clips, I really, really loved it. Okay, so we started out with Descript. And then after we had that technical issue, right, I remember one of the conversations, we were literally on the call and the audio wasn't working. And so I had to tell the guests, like, please, let's move to Google Meet. After doing that like 3 times, we just abandoned Descript and started booking all our meetings on Google Meet. And that's what we use for the rest of the year for the podcast. The beautiful thing about Google Meet is the Gemini AI that gives you Gemini notes, gives you the transcript, and of course, the summary of the conversation. From the podcast, I had the full transcript based on the Gemini notes that were shared. Of course, I could also use the Gemini AI tool to say, find me highlights of these conversations and timestamps so that somebody else could now cut those clips, which was a more manual process compared to Descript, right? And we could use that for promotional purposes. So we used Google Meet for the most part of the conversation. So you can see why I keep saying start with where you are, build from where you are, start with what you have. Because we're using Google Meet. Obviously, we have a Google Workspace and paid plan. So we could record with our Google Meet and all of that and have it saved. Now, those were things that we used tool-wise, right? Now, looking back, there are a number of things that we would love to change. But before I do that, let's look at the lessons that I learned on this journey. Now, one of the biggest lessons, which I've already told you, is start with what you have, built from where you are, right? And so one of the things I learned in terms of lessons was the fact that we didn't promote enough. When we started preparing for our podcast anniversary and we were creating categories for the guest and promoting based on the categories, one of the feedback that someone gave me is, I love this problem solution reveal of the podcast guest, right? So the fact that we're bringing it in series of problem solution, these are the episodes to go to, they really loved it and it helped to increase the downloads for the podcast in that period. So promoting, we didn't get to promote the podcast enough and consistently during the 1 year of hosting. So we're focusing more on hosting and ensuring we're consistent, but we weren't letting a lot of people. In short, I remember one time asking my community members, like, do you know we have a podcast? And a lot of people were like, oh, we have a podcast. So that is one lesson that I learned. We didn't promote enough. From weekly promotions to inserting it into every other thing, we didn't promote enough. So one of the things we'll be doing would be a tailored promotion calendar for the podcast. We already have ideas of what we want to do in the next 1 year to ensure that you are getting to hear about the podcast and all that is happening. Now, we learned to repurpose strategically. And the reason we actually stayed repurposing was because we took this podcast training almost 1 year after when we wanted to start planning for year 2 and how we can improve. And the person told us that, oh yes, people repurpose episodes and people might not even notice that it's been repurposed. And imagining, you know, repurposing an episode and all of a sudden it's like people just see this and they love it and it's like, oh wow. Because a lot of them may not have even seen it the first time. So we started repurposing strategically, not just, you know, bringing recording the episode and slapping it back, but looking at the title, looking at things we could change in the show notes and the way we presented it so that its value still should. And we didn't want to do it all the time, but we definitely repurposed strategically. And so we repurposed about 3 episodes when we're testing it out, which was a good one. Another thing we did, so initially when we said we're having only guest episodes, and then along the line we started mixing guest and solo episodes. The truth of the matter is that we started releasing solo episodes in a bid to stay consistent. So maybe we didn't have our guest episode for the week ready and we wanted to see and ensure we posted. But then when we looked at it, we decided that we wanted to be able to share sometimes, not just having guests share. Right. And so we decided to bring in both guest and solo episodes. And we're going to be planning a more strategic schedule and cadence for that so that there is a rhythm to it in this next year. Now, we realized that our flow was quite intensive and manual, emphasis on the manual. So intensive in terms of time. We needed to do the 30 minutes recording, then the 1 hour recording, and to be able to release an episode per week, that's 52 times 30 minutes times 1 hour, 30 minutes. So let's say 52 times 90 minutes, right? Spread across a period of time. Okay. So it was quite intensive. And then down the line, what we did first of all to reduce the intensity was to create recording days. So we reduced the number of days on which we opened our calendar to record podcast episodes. I mean, it had its pros and cons, right? Because it means that you couldn't record a lot of episodes in a week because not everybody might be available on that day. And so you have to like shift dates forward, but it also reduced the pressure. Now for the new year, one of the things we are considering is making the recording process async, right? So if people can just fill a form, I was on this podcast where all I needed to do was share my idea in a form. We booked the session, and then before the session started, we just did a little run through, and then that was it, right? One call, one process, easy peasy. So we're looking at having ours async, but then because of the nature of our podcast, we need to be able to decide on certain things ahead. We are looking at how we can bring in maybe email or Voxer voice messaging communication to ensure that while we are doing it async, we are still able to bring the best out of the podcast and make guests feel comfortable. Now, another lesson that we learned is to ensure that you are searchable with the right keywords. And we learned this one really late. Throughout my journey, I know one thing that was just couldn't demystify was SEO for podcasts. Like, I knew that when I wanted to check for podcasts, I would search for it, I would find it, I would listen. Like, it wasn't always, oh, someone recommended this podcast. It was more like I had this need, and so I went to Spotify to look for podcasts that were addressing what I was trying to solve. And so we're like, how can we make it that when people have this kind of need, our podcast, you know, shows up? And we struggled with it. And finally, we ended up doing, there was this podcast 4-day challenge that we took to help us finally demystify podcast SEO. And the biggest lesson we learned is the way you name your podcast is important. So before now, our podcast was Email Marketing Experiments, think it, test it, share it. We then changed that to Email Marketing Experiments, Email Marketing Strategies for Business Owners, Freelancers, and Service Providers. So when you search Email Marketing Strategies, from our name, the keyword is already enriched there. We went on to check the different keywords we wanted to search for. Wanted to rank for, and we wanted to be found for. And so in using Spotify actually and some other podcast platforms, we'll search different keywords. We'll see what we were typing and the kind of people that were coming out for it and what our competitors were showing up for. And we went on to also pick our keywords. Now, this is something that happened quite recently, so we are still testing it out, but we are glad that we are finally able to demystify SEO and ensure that from the beginning our podcast is searchable. Another thing that we were taught in the SEO class, right? So it's not an SEO class, it's actually a podcast challenge, the podcast blog challenge that we took. And then the other one was a podcast bootcamp. We'll link all of these in the show notes in case you also want to check it out, right? Another thing that we learned was that the cover image is important and the keywords also showing on the cover image, right? Not because of it being searchable, but to ensure that you stand out When other people with similar podcasts show up next to you, your cover art stands out. So that's something that we learned, and we're happy that we had made that investment to ensure that we had an expert come do our branding and all of that for us. Now, in the next year, we want to ensure that our workflow is more automated. So we had a lot of things happening manually. There were times we dropped the ball in terms of maybe a guest didn't get the link to their creative early enough. We didn't even get an email at all, right? So we had all of those mishaps, which is why we want in the next year to make our process more automated. We are really still exploring tools, whether we should use like Zoho CRM or Airtable, but we are looking at how we can explore tools that connect with other tools that we're already using in our system to be able to make the process more automated so that we make less mistakes and everything gets done. Now, here's another interesting thing I learned in the first 1 year. I remember one day we were recording and there was this static sound. There was no fans on. There was no noise from any external device. And I was wondering, like, where is this thing coming from? And so in asking questions and researching, I realized it was static from like my electric source. And so I was advised to disconnect my charger. And that was how I started recording episodes without having my laptop plugged in. It became sort of like habits, right? Because of that static sound. And then I realized that the reason I was having it, so I think it's some sort of an interference between my mic and the electricity. To be honest, I don't know the technicalities of it, but it was really interesting to find out, you know, that kind of stuff just from this. Now, let me tell you this, and this is the final lesson I'll share. Always have a plan B. Because tech is tech. It's not perfect and sometimes it will disappoint you. I mean, you can be the most tech-savvy person and tech still embarrasses you. And don't take it personal. Don't feel embarrassed. Laugh it off with your guest and say, oh, please, this is the alternative. We have had to re-record an episode because of tech and sound issues. And so I had to imagine having to go back to guests and say, the first episode you recorded with us wasn't great. This audio didn't come out good. Please, can we make it happen again? Right? So always have a plan B, test ahead of each episode. So what's next on the journey? For our podcast, we are leaning more into our case study style and we want to really just hone that down and the flow of the conversation. We're considering making episodes shorter. Currently, on average, our episodes are about an average of 43 minutes, some shorter, some longer. Initially, the goal was to keep it under an hour. And now we are leaning into seeing how we can make episodes maybe a bit shorter. But the important thing is we want to ensure we convey the message. Okay, we are also considering running series during the course of the podcast. So sometimes having series content in a particular line, but still with the overall theme of the podcast. We are also looking at making it more async, like I've told you, in terms of the initial conversation with guests. So we don't get to book two calls with each guest, but just one main call, and all of that other information ahead of time can be gotten via chat or voice messaging apps. We're also looking for more supportive tools to ensure that we can make our process as automated as possible. For everything that can be automated, we want to automate it so that we conserve our energy and focus our energy and time on the things that really, really matter. Now, we've gotten feedback, you know, for the podcast, right? So one of the things we realized we didn't have when we were auditing our 1 year journey was a lot of feedback. We didn't have feedback. We didn't have reviews. We had tried getting reviews during the course of the journey, but we hadn't placed a lot of emphasis on it. And I think that this is something you should do from the beginning. Now, there are ideas that have been shared by members of communities that we are in and all of that, right? But one of the things we want to achieve in year two, beyond being consistent, is also to increase listen score, increase the downloads, and to increase our global ranking. Currently, we don't have any global ranking. as stated on these same notes, but we want to be able to do that. And to do that, we need to increase the number of people that are listening to the podcast. We want to be able to build a community around the podcast of people who really want to hear behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. I want to make the podcast more supportive. So instead of you just listening to an episode, what else can we add to ensure that you can implement what you learned in the episode? And yes, we are all big on implementation here, right? So we are looking at how we can also bring that in. Now, for our podcast anniversary, we're doing a giveaway where people who gave us reviews would go ahead to be entered to win particular products. And in retrospect, now that I look at it, I think we should have been more specific with the platform and the kind of reviews we wanted, because everybody was just giving like a 5-star on Spotify. But if we were more specific, we could have also gotten some written reviews on the platform. Also, the tool that we used for the review. So realize you can use a third-party tool or otherwise, right? So here's some of the feedbacks that we got for the reviews that we did during the course of this journey. And it was really interesting to listen to people and hear what they think of the podcast. Now, this one I'm reading is one of the earliest ones that came in. And Priya says, I love this podcast. The fact that we get to learn from different guests in different industries with different approaches to email marketing is great. I love learning from the mistakes they've made as well as strategies they've tried. It's one of my favorite podcasts. And she recommended episodes 6, 7, and 9 amongst her favorite episodes. Now, we also had more people give us feedback in terms of what they loved about the podcast, right? So someone talked about episode 26. A lot of people actually liked this episode that talked about how to get your emails out of spam. It was actually like an experiment JJK did that people know. And so that was one episode that a lot of people gave feedback on. And this person said because when he was listening to it, he actually had confusion. Some confusion around his spam rate. And so the episode gave him clarity and helped him solve the problem. Now, another person who also loved this episode said that one thing that really stood out to me was the idea that low email performance isn't always a content problem. Sometimes it's a deliverability problem. And that shift was so eye-opening. I loved how he used AI not just to write emails, but actually diagnose why his emails were going to spam and how to fix it. It made me realize that before focusing on better subject lines or copy, you need to make sure your emails are even reaching the inbox. One line that stuck with me was essentially, you can't optimize what people aren't seeing. And it just sums everything up. So this is another person that really, really loved the episode, right? And we had a lot of feedback like that. Now, this other person loved episode 44, and the person was impressed by how this short episode covered so much material, from defining what sustainable marketing is to how business owners and strategists can repurpose past audio content into long-term marketing assets. The person also loved the fact that Jen revealed that her 2023 launch had a 40% open rate and nearly zero sales. And the numbers looked great on paper, but the results were a different story. And how she dived into the why of this and what it is, right? So she really went in and gave her story and talked about, you know, what she did and how the results panned out and all. Another episode that this person or that liked was Brianna Owens' episode, and she loved her energy. She also loved the fact that she started noticing that more brands are doing post-purchase emails, because Brianna talked about the 5 sequences every brand needs, and then this even inspired this particular listener, right, Emanuela, to write a post on Substack on choosing presence over politeness. She also loved Shannon's episode, that is Mrs. Vondi, where she shared her biggest open rate mistake, which reminded her of her own. And then she loved the episode with Yai because it was different, bolder perspective. Okay, now another episode that someone loved was the episode where I shared about real practical insights that were relatable and useful. So we had a lot of feedback from what people liked, what people didn't like. This person loved episode 39. It came, you know, in a time when she was trying to shoot a shot with a brand. She didn't hear from the brand, but she still sent the brand the email either ways. Somebody else loved the episode about how I built my automation system on autopilot with Ihoma Chukwueze. And she loved how it broke down the systems and showed how automations can take work off your plate while still driving results. I can go on and on and on. But we got a lot of 5-star ratings and positive feedback. And we are looking at the feedback of what people want to see in year 2. And we are hoping to cover it. If you're listening to this episode and you would like to see more of Email Marketing Experiments, please drop a comment on whatever platform you're listening to telling us some of the things you would love to see in our second year. This has been such an exciting conversation. And I hope that from sharing my journey in podcasting for 1 year, you get to learn something else. Now, let me end with this. In holding and hosting this podcast for 1 year, it was also a geography lesson because one of my favorite metrics, of which I haven't talked about the metrics that matter to me, one of my favorite metrics as I stock locations was also locations, in the fact that irrespective of where the top location was or not, I loved seeing the location of where guests were coming in from, right? So aside the top locations where they will show you like top countries and all of that good stuff, one of the things I really loved seeing were the other locations that people were coming in from, because I got to see countries and cities that I had never heard of before. Right? And you just say that, oh, you got a new listener from this place. Oh, you got somebody else from so-and-so place. And it was really interesting because I'm like, oh, wait, somebody in this part of the world sat down to listen to what it is that I had to say. That was something that I found super insightful and useful, right? The fact that I could go in and say, oh, this person in so-and-so country listened to me, and not just in the country, but also in the city. I think that was one metric that I really loved in Buzzsprout. The fact that it gave us country and city breakdown. We captivate, you can see the country. So we are seeing countries like Vietnam, right? That's an interesting one. Brazil, Cyprus, Croatia, Finland, Italy, Romania, Sweden, Canada. Our top listeners are actually in the US and Nigeria. Then we have Spain, Germany, UK, India, France, Switzerland, and so on. So seeing people listen to our podcast in their, you know, all of these places was something that we didn't take for granted, because with the podcast, it meant we're able to reach people in different continents with what it is that we had to offer. And the metrics that I loved when it came to the podcast, obviously locations, like I have said, right? And then after locations, it had to be the downloads and unique listeners. So the number of people who had downloaded our episodes, and then the unique listeners, how many people were listening. Then another comparison I like to make was, compared to the previous months, how many people were listening to the podcast month on month? Was there an increase? Was there a decline? You know, was there a month that did particularly well? What did we do in that month? Was it the topic? So those were things that, you know, I really love to check and to find out during the course of the analytics. Every other thing, I mean, it was interesting, but these are the metrics that really, really matter to me, right? And so this has been our 1 year journey. In the next year, we have a lot of things that we want to do. Come join us along for the ride by following Email Marketing Experiments on any platform you're listening to it right now, and come learn behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. Ciao.
Hi, Dr. Safaya here. Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of Email Marketing Experiments. I'm going to ask a favor. Please leave a rating and a comment on this podcast. It goes a long way to help increase visibility for our podcast so that we can reach even more people. Now, let me tell you what's happening at Safaya Learning Hall. We are currently hosting a live virtual event, Inbox Connect. Registration is free and currently ongoing with the link in the show notes. Inbox Connect is for email marketers by email marketers. It's a virtual event to meet, connect, and learn with lots of email marketing goodies and awards to be won. So grab your free ticket with the link in the show notes now. We can't wait to see you at Inbox Connect this year. Till next time, this is still Email Marketing Experiment. Think it, test it, and share it.